Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the second Sunday of end time. It's Last Judgment Sunday, day when we think about the approaching of Judgment Day and the need for us to be ready for that day. Our order of service begins in the bulletin. We're going to open right now with America the Beautiful, and we're using that hymn to start today because Tuesday is Veterans Day. We think about those people who served our country so that we can have the freedom that we have here in our country, and we want to thank God for that. But hymn America the Beautiful, it's on the sixth page in the bulletin. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. O beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country love, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. O beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in him. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues forever. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in him. Our Old Testament reading for this last Judgment Sunday is from Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 1 to 6, a reading which reminds us that Judgment Day is coming and how we need to listen to the word. Listening to that word make us ready for that day. Early in the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. This is what the Lord says: stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen, and each will turn away from his evil way. Then I will relent and not bring on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says: if you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city an object of cursing among all the nations of the earth. Israelite or people of Judah, they faced God's discipline and judgment, and that was kind of like their judgment day. And well, if only they would have listened to the word, be ready for the Lord. Alleluia. Watch, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27. This reading is Jesus' parable of the minas, and that parable does remind us of the reality of Judgment Day. Many people think, oh, it's never going to happen, but it is coming. And the encouragement here is be faithful and ready for that day. While they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another came and said, Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Again, a reminder of that final judgment. We'll continue now with our next hymn, hymn 468, 206 in the Red Book, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying.
Wake, awake, for night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying. Awake, Jerusalem, arise. Midnight hears the welcome voices, and at the thrilling cry rejoices. Oh, where are all you virgins wise? The bridegroom comes, awake. Your lamps with gladness take. Alleluia. With bridal care, yourselves prepare to meet the bridegroom who is near. Zion hears the watchmen singing, and all her heart with joy is springing. She wakes, she rises from her gloom, for her Lord comes down all glorious, the strong in grace, in truth, victorious. Her star is risen, her light is come. Now come, O blessed one, Christ Jesus, God's own Son. Hail, Hosanna, we enter all the marriage hall to eat the supper at your call. Now let all the heavens adore you. Let saints and angels sing before you with harp and cymbals' clearest tone. Of one pearl each shining portal, where dwelling with the choir immortal, we gather round your radiant throne. No vision ever brought, no ear has ever caught such great glory. Therefore will we in victory sing hymns of praise eternally.
The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider this Last Judgment Sunday is our epistle reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 10, where Paul was inspired to write. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed, there was a Christian woman who for months was enduring some terrible suffering with a painful illness. And on one occasion, she said to her pastor, "I have such a lovely robin that sings outside my window. In the early mornings as I lie here, he serenades me." Then with a brightened smile on her face, she exclaimed, "I love him because he sings even in the rain." And that's the beautiful thing about a robin. I maybe didn't realize that or know that, but supposedly when all of the other songbirds, when it's raining and there's bad weather and there's silence, well, the robin is supposed to be a bird that keeps on singing even in the rain. And that's really a lesson for us as Christians, because as believing children of God, knowing Jesus is our Savior, that means that even in the rain, we can still keep on singing "How Great Thou Art" about our Savior. You know, it's easy, really, if you think about it, when things are going good. It's easy under those circumstances to sing when things are going well. But on those occasions when the sun has gone down and it's rough out there, when troubles afflict us, that's a hard time to keep on singing like the robin does. But when afflictions come and get us, you and I can still sing because Jesus is our Savior. The Apostle Paul makes that point for us today when he reminds us that we are God's holy people. You and I are God's holy people. And how blessed we are to be God's holy people. How blessed we are to be God's holy people. Because, well, being his people means no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what trials or troubles come our way, if there is sickness, if there is death, if there is, well, tornadoes or hurricanes or earthquakes or shootings, senseless shootings, terrorism, racism, riots, if all of those things are going on, when we have Jesus as our Savior, when we are God's holy people, we can still keep on singing because we have that great and wonderful news. Well, by God's grace, we are God's holy people. And of course, if we do reject Jesus, if we were to turn away from him, if we were to neglect God and his word, then we'd start to lose or maybe have lost that reason for singing. But as long as we in faith are looking to Jesus as our Savior, we can keep on singing like the robin. The Apostle Paul tells us who are God's holy people that, well, we can keep on singing like that because we believe God's message. And even though we suffer persecution for our faith, yet we wait for the Lord's return and we know that we are so richly blessed because we are God's holy people. The Apostle Paul first went to Thessalonica on his second missionary journey. He would visit there again on his third missionary journey as well. But Thessalonica, it was a very important city. It was a center of commerce because it had a very good harbor and it was on an important Roman highway. Some suggest that that city at the time of Paul may have had 200,000 people living in it, which would make it a huge city for back in those days. But whatever the population was, the city did have a Jewish synagogue where Paul began to preach and to teach, where he began to work, and the Lord did bless his work. The Lord did bless his work so that after 3 weeks there were some Jews who, by the grace of God, believed in the Christian message of Paul, and there were also a large number of Greeks that were called to faith, made believing children of God by the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. And that group of believers, Greek believers, included many prominent men. And, well, the success of Paul's mission there, well, a success by the Holy Spirit working through Paul, what that did is it made the Jews who were there jealous of the fact that there were so many Gentile converts. They were kind of, in their mind, invading the church, which they didn't see as a good thing, which was a good thing, though. Well, they instigated a riot in the city, and they claimed that Paul and Silas, his co-worker, that they were guilty of treason. They said that Paul and Silas, what they were doing is they were proclaiming Jesus as a king in opposition to Caesar. And because of that charge, that very night, the Thessalonian believers, they sent Paul and Silas on their way to Berea because they didn't feel it was safe for them to be in Thessalonica anymore. But then those jealous Jews, they even went after Paul and Silas in Berea and made it necessary for them to have to flee away from Berea as well. Well, it was under those circumstances that Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians to encourage the people to remain faithful despite the fact that they were faced with the persecution and the hardship that they were. And thanks to God, the faithful in Thessalonica, they endured and they persevered and they even flourished in spite of the persecutions and the sufferings that they experienced. The people grew in their faith and their numbers grew as well. And so Paul wrote in his second letter, our text, in the second letter, right before our reading, Paul wrote, "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." In our reading, Paul says of the Thessalonians, "You believed our testimony to you." The gospel had worked on their hearts. The Holy Spirit had turned them into believing children of God. And, well, the Holy Spirit has done the same thing for us, for you and for me, for all who believe in the promises of God. He's changed us who were dead in our trespasses and sins, and made us into God's holy people. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to say, we are God's holy people. We're believing children of God. Oh, in a Peanuts cartoon strip, Lucy and Linus are in that strip. They're staring out the window, watching it rain outside. And their conversation in that comic strip goes like this. Lucy says, "Boy, look at it pour. What if it floods the whole world?" Linus replied, "It won't. In Genesis 9, God promised Noah that would never happen again. The sign of that promise is the rainbow." Well, Lucy then looked out the window again, and with a big smile on her face, she said, "You've taken a great load off my mind." And Linus to that responded, "Sound theology has a way of doing that. Don't know that I've seen that many Peanuts comic strips that have kind of a theological bent like that, but this one did." And Chuck Swindoll, he commented on that strip. He said, "Wise and timely words from little Linus. With tears, with feelings of fear and uncertainty while watching events from our windows, many of us often hear least what we need most. Sound, reliable theology that offers reassurance and hope based squarely on God's word, not feelings or opinions or even logic. We need to hear what God has said and rest our case there." Believing God's message, that offers us such hope, such comfort, such peace, because when we hear God's message, it tells us about the forgiveness of our sins, the promise that our Savior is always with us, the promise that our God is going to make everything that happens in our lives work together for our eternal good. And he's going to do that because you and I are God's holy people. Paul said, "All this," and he's referring to that the Thessalonians, that the Thessalonians, that they were able to persevere in their faith. "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering." They were counted worthy of the kingdom of God because of the God-given, God-worked faith that was in their hearts. That faith that God gave them so that they believed in Jesus. It wasn't that they were counted worthy because of the suffering that they endured or anything that they did on their own. Well, but they were suffering. And the jealous Jews, they accused not only Paul, but all of the Thessalonians, and well, all believers, saying they are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. And see, now that accusation was carefully crafted to make all those Christians back then seem as if they were enemies of the Roman Empire. And the unbelieving crowds, they heard that and they felt that it was their a duty, therefore, since those Christians were opposing Rome. It was their civic duty to oppose Christians who trusted in Jesus and worshiped him as their king. Of course, those believers who were being persecuted, they knew that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. He was no threat to the Roman Empire, but that didn't stop the persecution. Years earlier, when the apostles were flogged, beaten, and ordered not to speak in Jesus' name, They left the Sanhedrin that day rejoicing. And as Scripture tells us, they did that because they had been counted worthy of suffering. Their suffering was proof that they were different from the unbelieving world around them. They were God's holy people. The Thessalonians, they suffered as believers had before them and as believers would continue to suffer. And we also will be persecuted if, for our faith, we'll be persecuted for our faith if we talk about our Savior, if we stand up for all that God says in His Word. But actually, those are a couple of mighty big ifs, aren't they? If, however, instead of testifying to God's true message, we're ready to compromise what we believe, if we're ready to tell people that they can believe whatever they want to, despite what the Scriptures say, if we do that, then we probably won't face the persecution that those early Christians faced because they stood up for what the Word of God had to say. We'd be following the tolerant way of our world today. But Jesus says, and it's a verse we heard last week with Reformation Sunday, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And now see, holding to his teaching, that's when we have God's blessings. That's when we can, in spite of life's troubles, we can keep on singing like the robin. But again, if we stand up for what we believe, we can expect to be persecuted for our faith. But as we're dealing with that persecution, we're waiting for the Lord's return. And that will be the absolute end of all of our sufferings and problems. Paul said, "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give grief to you who are troubled, give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed." When Christ returns, Paul reveals to us that he'll come with two separate, different judgments. He'll repay affliction to all those who gave the Thessalonians afflictions. And now see, that demonstrates God's justice. The second result of his return is to give rest to the believers. And that rest is what God's people anticipated with every Sabbath day back in Old Testament times. And now rest from all of this life's trials and troubles, but especially rest from our sins, from the burden of our sins, knowing that sin will never be a part of our lives anymore. That's what we can look forward to. But he says here also that unbelievers, they will receive God's vengeance or punishment forever. Forever? It's not ever going to let up. When Paul says that God will pay back trouble to those who, well, trouble the Thessalonians, those who trouble us as well, our sinful nature may say, "Well, isn't it great that they're finally going to get theirs?" My sinful nature might rejoice in their getting getting theirs, as I said. But instead, what we need to realize, of course, is that each of us has done wrong, and each of us has done wrong against others, and, well, we've caused others trouble and heartache. And does that mean then that we have to fear God's wrath? Well, the fact is, we deserve God's wrath. You and I, we deserve God's wrath because of our sins. But we won't have to face God's wrath because God is gracious and forgiving to us and to all. Jesus lived and died and paid for the sins of everyone. So instead of rejoicing that our enemies are going to get theirs, let's do all that we can to share with all people, even our enemies, even those who would afflict us, even those who might persecute us. Let's share with them the best news that there is, that Jesus is our Savior and their Savior too. So as we wait for the Lord's return, let's remember Jesus' words. As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. The day is coming when we won't be able to share the gospel with anyone else again. Well, with unbelievers anymore. They will have lost that opportunity. In the years right after September 11th, 2001, that terrible time in our nation's history when those towers were destroyed, the Pentecost was attacked, Pentagon was attacked, I think that in those years right after that, United States citizens were more likely to be proud to be Americans. And now our country is struggling a lot lately. But in general, we're still proud to be Americans. And being American kind of means that our enemies may go after us and they may cause us grief, but they're not going to defeat us. We're going to continue to stand. That's what we believe. When we say we're God's holy people, when we say we're God's holy people, we're actually saying something similar to saying that we're proud to be United States citizens. But we can say we're God's holy people with so much more confidence. And that's because Satan, the unbelieving world, and our own sinful flesh, they're going to attack us. They're going to cause us so much grief. But as long as we continue to look in faith to our Lord Jesus, we can't be defeated. We can stand strong. And we can keep on singing like the robin, always, no matter what, because by God's grace, you and I are God's holy people. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And let's confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may always look forward to the end of this present evil age and to the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord God, as always, we keep coming to you with those in our prayer list who are dealing with their aches and pains and trials and troubles and, well, remaining maybe at the top or toward the top of our list is Forrest Ripley after recuperating after having brain surgery and considering how best to continue treatment for that. We ask you, Lord, to please keep him, well, keep thinking of like Deb Spitzley, Christine Dries, Paula Burris, Linda Hazy, Diane Kennedy, Roberta Waldron, Colleen, and so many more in our prayers. If it's your will, grant them healing, grant them recovery, but more than anything else, keep on reminding them and all of us of how we're God's holy people. And that means that like the robin, we can keep on singing and rejoicing in what we have in Christ our Savior. And because of all that we have in Christ our Savior, we gather up all of their prayers as we join in praying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today. Just a couple of announcements. Well, in between services today, we're having a little bit of a brunch celebrating Calvary's 62nd anniversary. Wish you could be here to some food and fellowship together. Sunday is Haley Hall's birthday. Monday would be Martin Luther's birthday. Tuesday, Gwen Faulkner Lowry's birthday. Wednesday, Devin Nelson. Thursday, we do have a church council and elders meeting. Already mentioned people in our prayers. Forrest Ripley continues to, well, struggle as he's recuperating. But again, thank you for joining me for worship today. Pray that, well, I'm recording this on Friday night. I'm praying that the weather is decent so that everybody can be here for worship on Sunday or well, maybe join through conference call or watching our videos. But again, the Lord bless and keep you always.